You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Welcome everybody to the Pro Wrestling Iowa WWE United Kingdom Championship Tournament post show. I am your host, ProWrestlingIowa.net editor-in-chief Dustin Smothers, and once again I am joined by ProWrestlingIowa.net's Darnell Mitchell and our good brother from across the pond, George Phillips. Guys, how we doing?
Tired.
Real good.
What is it like, 2:30 for George, it is 7:20 in the morning for me and 8:20 in the morning for Darnell. Darnell, right before we recorded, your alarm was going off for the correct time to wake up. I'm glad that we are all here. And what a tournament, guys. I was blown away by some of these guys I had not. Tyler Bate, what can I say? That guy's great. I had never seen him before.
Yeah, he. None of us picked him to win, but I think that he really is the right choice. I think he's... There's nothing better than a babyface and a good heel to compliment that and Pete Dunne. So congratulations, Tyler, man. 19. Dude, we're so good at 19. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He was great. I really, really enjoyed watching him. Yeah, I did not have him. I did not think he was going to win, but I was pleasantly surprised when he did.
Guys, I mean, we were planning on doing a post-show both days. Obviously, time differences and things ran afoul on us. What'd you guys think of the first day of the tournament? I thought similar to the Cruiserweight Classic, the first day was just kind of an introduction to these guys. Nothing too crazy, nothing flashy, no surprises. I think everybody we thought would go over in the first round did. I walked away from the first round really impressed with Wolfgang Young. I had seen just brief clips of him, and man, I wanted to root for that guy. I honestly wanted him to win the whole thing.
Sorry. Yeah, I thought it was fine. I thought it was great. You could tell it was kind of them testing the waters, like seeing what they can get away with. I actually thought Danny Burch was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like I agree. I'd never seen him wrestle like that when he was in NXT. It was kind of like, I mean, not with a gash to the back of the head, which was like, oh.
Which I love the way that played into the second round. With Tyler Bate, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it makes you wonder if it was, obviously you don't want to like get someone, you know, actually slash someone in the back of their head, but like the heel turn with Jordan Devlin, which I loved, which was smart to do because the crowd was turning on him anyway.
Just a shit in Balor. that's what they were chanting.
Ooh. How did they really feel about him?
Well, ironically, yeah. Though, even my 4-year-old son said that guy looks like Finn Balor, which it's just very ironic being from the same region, trained by him. Jordan Devlin's got a great future as a heel, without question, because my son just didn't want anything to do with him.
Oh, that's when someone's 4-year-old child is just like, no thanks, that means you're doing your job very, very well.
My girlfriend hated Pete Dunne, like really, really, really hated him.
It was good.
When
what was her distaste for him?
Well, she didn't really like the way he looked. She reminded him of an oik, I guess. I don't know how you'd say that in America.
An America. We're in America, man.
You are in America.
An oik.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, just a little shit, basically. like a smug little bastard. Do you know what I mean?
Like a yeah, I got exactly what you mean. Kind of, he's that kid in every movie. If you have a movie set in like a school, he's the guy stirring up all the crap, getting the good guy in trouble, that kind of a thing.
Yep. Yeah, the kind of guy you really want to punch in the face. Yes. I really liked watching him. I thought he was really great.
I loved, and I mean, obviously, you have to assume. I'm familiar with Pete Dunne, not to the extent that I should be. I assume a lot of his career is molded after William Regal, just based on the tight colors and everything. And I loved, once again, the way that played into the entire tournament. And you can almost see down the road, if this thing gets launched into a television show, some sort of feud, obviously not in the ring, but from a backstage creative perspective with William Regal coming. Between him and Pete Dunne. Yeah, William Regal was not having a good day with Pete Dunne either of these days.
I think that's also one of it corresponds with the cool difference between this and like the Cruiserweight Classic. You know, besides the fact that you had 10 weeks to sort of learn these characters because you had double the competitors in a Cruiserweight Classic, is that they didn't really. It's only 2 days, you know, 24 hours, you know, really between the two of them. And
thanks, Michael Cole. That's exactly what Cole said, exactly that way.
Well, it's true. You know, pretty good commentator. So they did a good job of actually establishing stories, you know, with a heel turn involved with it. You could see feuds being made from it. And that's something that the Cruiserweight Classic did not do. It was just, you're a wrestler, go wrestle. There were things that called back in, you know, the previous day that worked well and allowed the characters to actually have a personality and not just be wrestlers. Also, speaking of Michael, I thought him and Nigel McGuinness were great together.
There were times where you could tell one of them was very, very, very used to being overproduced. When Pete Dunne attacked Mark Andrew, when Tyler Pete Dunne came down and attacked Tyler Bate, and Nigel McGuinness goes, "Oh, somebody get an ambulance down here for him." And Michael Cole's like, "Somebody get this guy out of here!" You know, like, it was very clear which one of them was used to the WWE system. But I agree. I mean, these are those moments where you could tell a little bit of the handcuffs were off Michael Cole, so to speak. Vince wasn't in his ear. And something that, before we get into the meat and potatoes of this tournament, what really stuck out to me was this is a vision and this is the style that Triple H and William Regal, I think, will bring to this company as they start to rise in power. I almost feel Court Bauer tweeted out, and I agree with him. One of the few times in recent memory I've agreed with Court Bauer, that William Regal almost is to Triple H as Pat Patterson was to Vince McMahon right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Triple H doesn't get enough credit for, like, what he did. He's still, like, I'm sure, a smug little bastard. But, like, he's a wrestler. And
Uncle
he believes
Hunter.
In wrestling. Oh.
Uncle and Hunter.
You can also tell that he loves that he's actually, like, loved. In NXT, you know, he's just like, oh my god, you really love me.
You a fan of me?
Yeah, you're all right. He's all right. Guys, I just want just quickly, yeah. Just really quickly. I thought the first day was all right. Like I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as great as I thought it could be. No, but I thought the second day was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I listened to different podcast this morning, and. A certain DM, he said that apparently a lot of the British wrestlers were told to tone it down by WWE, which I think you could kind of tell Dustin, you've never seen any progress at all, right?
Right. Well, I mean, just little clips. I've never seen like a full show.
Darnell, you've obviously been, so you know what it's like. You know what the British wrestlers are like. Super strong, really heavy hitting, really spectacular moves. And I felt like there was a bit of a leash on all of the competitors. And that was kind of reinforced by what Meltzer said this morning.
Because of Progress Wrestling, everything is Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne, basically. Everything is them just throwing bombs at each other. The Joseph Connors and James Drake, I did not like Joseph Connors at all. And like some people love them, and I was just like, I didn't care for it. But I agree. It was just that you could tell that everyone was just kind of like very hesitant, and I wasn't sure if it was nerves or WWE.
Well, and you can definitely tell that the leash was loosened a little bit on day two. I think that, and a lot of it just stems from, I think, just not wanting to, I don't know how to word this correctly here, but maybe like you don't want to overexpose a product to the United States that maybe you're not, you know, it has to come from that place of, okay, we don't know where this is going. What do we, you know, do we want to overexpose people to what they could see? And if we don't follow through with it, and I think I appreciate that in a way, because that's one of my big things with the Cruiserweight Classic is that if the WWE does bring this to television moving forward, I'm not going to have this unreasonable expectation as to what it will be when they come out of it, where the Cruiserweight Classic was hats off 500 miles an hour from day one, where this is, you know, kind of leading you into it a little bit. For me, as a fan of the WWE product, I'm okay with that because I want to be prepared for what I will see.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point, actually.
I did not think
about it from an American's point of view. I was just annoyed that it wasn't like as incredible as I like thought it could and probably should have been. But I do see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's not always about you blokes across the pond. but here's why do you guys think that's the case? Why do you think they actually do that? If you're trying to offer us a different product in the Cruiserweight Classic, in this sort of English, I want to say English, I want to say UK style wrestling. Why didn't switch it out? Why do that switch and bait, like for the Cruiserweight Classic?
Because don't you want
to get new people to watch
it? Sure, but you don't want people to think, WWE isn't as good as this. It's like if you bring over Shinsuke Nakamura, you don't chuck him straight into the main event of like WrestleMania because he's that much better than everybody else. You need to make him work to everybody else's level. Otherwise, people are going to be like, WWE is crap because, you know, all these guys that come over from Japan have these blowaway matches. Can't have Kenny Omega come over and all of a sudden slide right in and be kicking everyone's ass because he's not come from the WWE system.
And I think Triple H is probably very careful with this tournament specifically, because it's not here in America. I don't think Vince has anything to do with this at all. Just not to overshadow Vince's product, because what's going to we all know Vince is an egomaniac. If Triple H comes in with this product, overshadows it, Vince is going to blow up, and Vince is going to get his hands on it and ruin it. So I think that by starting out slow and just giving us a taste, it's actually setting this up for success down the road. Let's look at day one. Obviously, I'll just run through it, and we can discuss these guys as we go. Tyler Bate defeated Tucker. Jordan Devlin defeated Danny Burch. Trent Seven over H.C. Dyer. Wolfgang over Tyson T-Bone. Mark Andrews over Dan Maloney. Joseph Connors over James Drake. Pete Dunne over Roy Johnson. And Sam Gradwell over Saxon Huxley. Were they chanting something about Jesus at Saxon Huxley? Did I catch that?
Yes, they were, yeah.
What was that? I couldn't catch all of it.
It was "Let's go Jesus" and "Jesus sucks," which was pretty cool. They also tried to start a "fuck 'em up Jesus" chant, but that was very quickly kiboshed by the security.
Yeah,
but that's a very British
yes.
thing to do. Like, if you've ever been to a pro or seen a Progress show, they do that a lot. So that's pretty funny.
I'll say one guy that stood out in a losing effort to me, honestly, was Tyson T-Bone. I sort of dug that guy's look. He looked like my uncle. I was waiting for my uncle to. It's like he comes off from behind the counter, takes the apron off, throws the brass knuckles on, and he's ready to go. That's what I got from Tyson T-Bone.
Yeah, I think you did a good job. I was actually slightly impressed by Sam Gradwell. Mm-hmm. And I say slightly, as in, like, you could tell he was just trying so hard like so hard, so gung ho, but something about him was just so damn bland. I couldn't get it, but he was a lot better than I was expecting. And you know who I thought was fantastic? What's his name? Why can't I think of his name? Who did wrestle Mark Andrews?
Dan Maloney.
Why am I like blocking up? No, Tyler Bate. Never mind. Tucker. I'm talking about
Tucker.
I like Tucker. That's who I like. Thank you.
He had a good look.
He had a good look. Great butt. Not that I have anything to do with anything.
I saw several people online asking if Sam Gradwell was one of James McAvoy's personalities in that new movie Split that's coming out.
That is wrong. That's so good though. That's hilarious.
James Drake is just again. It is, yeah, Sam Gradwell. Surprise, swerve. It's
Moonsault.
Vince Russo obviously booked this movie. Wolfgang though, man, guys, after the first round match with Tyson T-Bone, Wolfgang was my guy. I went into this wanting Trent Seven to win, and I came out of the first round really, really pulling for Wolfgang.
Have you seen Trent Seven wrestle though?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I really thought Trent Seven got watered down pretty hard in this tournament.
Yeah, he's a lot more brutish. I love his entire look is just hilarious. Like dad bod, mm-hmm. like way yeah, too hot.
He looks fat.
He's just big boned. He's not fat. He didn't look in the best shape, but I mean, if you hired Chris Hero, like,
oh yeah, I think, you mean Cassius Ohno?
Sorry,
who's Chris Hero? We don't know who that is.
Who's Hero? Cassius Ohno. Oh no, we didn't both just do that, did we?
Yeah, we did. Oh, it's really sad. Actually, who were you not impressed by?
Oh, HT Dyer. Yeah, me too. Nothing for me. And yeah,
his facials were dreadful.
And Roy Johnson, the body guy, I thought he would impress me more. Nah. Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne overshadowed green. Him. Pete Dunne just overshadowed him.
He's very
him.
Green.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Pete Dunne, though, I mean, like, I really can't stress enough how much I like the way they took care of him in this tournament. They obviously see a lot in Pete Dunne.
Mm.
And then sure, he's 23. You know, he is, let's not forget, he is the Progress champion. Like, you know, the guy has won belts all over the UK, and he's 23. And also, can we talk about how, like, English wrestlers, like, basically come out of the womb doing suplexes? Like, how are these guys been wrestling for 10 years? 10 years. I'm 12. I've been wrestling for 10 years. I'm just like, what? What's going on?
I will say that my son really, and it was cool to watch this entire tournament with my son because, I was learning a lot about these wrestlers as we went. Mark Andrews, he obviously levitated towards Mark Andrews, and he was devastated when Pete Dunne beat Mark Andrews in the semifinal.
Oh, man. Yeah, Sean House was the same. She was the same.
Mark, he's got that sort of lovable mentality for him. You know, you can't, and also he stands out. You know, he's a high flyer. He stands out against everyone else. But he's also itty bitty. But I think he has a natural charisma that works very, very well for a underdog babyface.
Guys, let's jump into the quarterfinals here. Tyler Bate defeated Jordan Devlin. Wolfgang over Trent Seven in a shocker. I think everybody assumed Trent Seven was moving on. Mark Andrews over Joseph Connor and Pete Dunne over Sam Gradwell. They did play up over the course of the evening on Saturday night, maybe that Gradwell would not be able to compete. So I did appreciate that. He obviously did and lost in quick fashion to Pete Dunne, who then attacked him after the bell, resulting in the referees making their way down. And Pete Dunne continued to take that hard edge. Mark Andrews, that shooting star press is beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And his sort of stunner, his like sort of tilt-a-whirl stunner.
Slingshot into the DDT thing.
It can come from anywhere. It's great.
It can come out of nowhere. But sorry.
Yeah, I thought that finish was really good. I wrote that down. I wrote down that I like that finish.
Yeah, the second Trick 7 losing was kind of a shock. But I think at that point it was just kind of like, for me, it was like Pete Dunne is definitely winning. Why do you think, if Trent Seven was clearly the favorite, do you think they did that just to swerve us? Or do you think they just wanted to give Wolfgang a little bit more time to win it?
Yeah, I think Trent Seven has enough charisma. They know that whatever they do with him in this tournament, if this does move into a weekly show, he's going to have no issue being over. And I think you could have beat him in the first round, and he still would be over. So I think getting Wolfgang that little bit of momentum heading into a TV show is great. And I love the way that Nigel McGuinness continued to put over. Wolfgang was working at a pub a week ago, and now he's here, even though he is the current ICW champion, correct?
I believe he is. Oh yeah, he just got it off of like a kind of money in the bank situation, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I learned something during that match that I did not know before, and that is that when you go through the bottom two ropes, it's called a low pay, and if you go through the top two, it's called a toe pay. I did not know that.
I knew toe pay, but I never heard of low pay.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's probably like Little John's favorite thing, you know, because he likes to get low.
Lope!
That's the sound of a cultural reference I don't understand going over my head.
Tyler Bate and Jordan Devlin, I thought, was probably the best match of the quarterfinals. And
oh, hands down.
And Jordan Devlin continued to work that heel role really well. And this is when I finally started to really see how over Tyler Bate was with this crowd.
Tyler Bate. I've actually been singing that all morning while I was taking a shower. Yeah, he's again, Progress Tag Team Champion. Like, the guy, his style is so unique, you know. He can do high flying. He does like sort of old classic throwback wrestlers. He's Simon Gotch mixed with Jack Gallagher mixed with William. It's just the perfect blend.
I'm glad you brought that up, because immediately I knew I wanted to see a triple threat match between Tyler Bate, Simon Gotch, and Jack Gallagher. Like, absolutely, book it for WrestleMania. I want to see it.
But the promo for it should just be them, like, twirling their mustaches all together. That's all I want to see. I knew Tyler was popular, but even I was surprised by the amount of fanfare that he was getting for everything. Because, again, he's always a small little guy, too. A perfect sort of underdog. So I even having Pete Dunne come out and attack him afterwards, you're just like, oh, God, they're giving you the baby face and peril treatment. Like, you're golden right now, dude.
Well, and Wolfgang, even I love the way that they just built this tournament. I thought that having the one day tournament helps you play so many angles coming out of things, because obviously Trent Seven broke Wolfgang's nose, it looks like, and Wolfgang did that moonsault off the barricade onto the floor and jacked up his knee a little bit.
Yeah.
And I love heading into the semifinal between Tyler Bate and Wolfgang, just the intrigue of, all right, the announcers were like, okay, we just got word that Wolfgang broke his nose. Does Tyler know that? Does Tyler go after the knee? And he did. And Wolfgang and Tyler Bate put on a great, literally, I'm looking at the times here, and I'm surprised that match was only 5 minutes and 55 seconds, because they got a lot of stuff in and really told a great story in that semifinal between Bate and Wolfgang.
I think they did a good job utilizing their time. I think everyone did a pretty good job of utilizing their time. You can make magic in 6 minutes if you know what you're doing.
My notes on the Wolfgang Bate fight are basically just how over Tyler Bate is, how good I thought that match was considering the match it followed. Tyler Bate's just looked really great, and the pop-up powerbomb variation was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he does something. I know this sounds so dumb, but like, I love little things. It's like when you do like a head scissors takeover, like wrap your legs around their neck. But I love that when he sits down, he actually puts his feet over their shoulders. And it's such a little small thing, but I love like seeing stuff like that, because like the little things, I think, is what differentiates you from other guys compared to like Batista's awkward role that he does. But Tyler, yeah, he's got the little things down, very much so.
What'd you guys think of Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews? I thought they had a great match as well.
I thought it was fantastic. absolutely fantastic. I really loved the standing 420 thing that Mark Andrews did. Not sure if it was a 420, whatever it was, that big flip thing. That looked awesome. It just looked really good.
It was like a, what is that, like a rolling senton maybe or something like that?
He was stood, I thought he was going to go for the standing shooting star press, but he like took a second.
Oh, yeah.
Step back and then sort of did this crazy like double flip, like splash on top of it. It was awesome. I'm not sure what it was called, but it was wicked.
And again, this is the most important thing. It goes back to the match he had earlier. I don't know if it was earlier that day or it was the day before, but you know, when he did the sort of standing moonsault and the guy got his knees up. Like, it's very, again, they're all playing off of every single match they had earlier. Mm-hmm. Mark Andrews and Pete Dunne have wrestled each other a million times. And it's funny when you watch stuff like that, because you're just kind of like, these guys are friends and have known each other for years and wrestled each other so many times, and they're doing it for WWE. So you could see they were like going for it. That end sort of sequence when Mark Andrews is doing the springboard to the inside and Pete Dunne just whacks him with an elbow. Mm-hmm. They really put their all into it. And it's two young guys, two very young guys. I think Mark can't be older than 25. And I know Pete is 23. Who are that good, that young. So just imagine what... Now, WWE, we can say whatever we want about it, but WWE also has some of the best trainers in the world. And the Performance Center is fantastic. Sami Zayn is a better wrestler because he was in the Performance Center. You know, Kevin Owens is a better wrestler because he was in the Performance Center. Just imagine what Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews, who are both definitely getting signed, mm-hmm. are going to be able to do in 5 years.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point. I think one thing that stood out to me a lot throughout this tournament was guys not knowing necessarily how to work to the hard camera in WWE, and a guy that picked it up right away, Trent Seven. I think it took him all of 7 seconds, if I can be slightly punny for a second. But you can tell the guys that went in prepared to know what to do in a WWE ring, and I think that just speaks a testament to who the top guys in this tournament were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talk about a different podcast again, but like, I love it when Brian Alvarez rants about how difficult it is to find the hard camera, because he's like Triple H is like, it took us 2 years to teach Finn Balor where the hard camera was, and Alvarez is like, if you just look, but the big like this massive bit where there's no seats, it's all tarped off, that's where it is, so just look there, it's not that hard. But it's funny that you should say that, because I didn't, yeah, that it definitely didn't have a feel of television wrestling. It didn't look as good as some of the WWE matches, even though like the matches were better in a certain way. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. they didn't look great on they didn't look great on TV, but I imagine if you were there, they would have looked fantastic.
Well,
I
think it's reduction value.
Well, I think a lot of it just stems from, you know, it's one thing to see and turn and play to the hard camera with facial expressions, but it's another thing to hit a move and understand where you're at in the ring and where the person needs to land, so that way when you pin them, you're looking at the hard camera. I think that's a lot of it that stood out in this tournament. I have to put over Pete Dunne's finisher, man. That bitter end, the Uranage into the flatliner. One of the coolest looking moves I've seen in a long time. And I'm really, really excited to see more of that.
And he gets these guys, he's a strong little guy. Like, he gets these guys up when he does it. It's just, it's really, really innovative. And again, makes him stand out. Everything about him stands out. His hair, his mouth guard, his outfit. Like, he's a bona fide star, and we and Dustin, you and I talk about it all the time, and I know George likes him a lot too. He's a complete character, very much so how like Marty Scurll is a complete character, from the way he wrestles, from his attire, from his finisher, from his entrance. Everything is complete. He is 100% done and ready to go, and Pete Dunne is already that.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you guys a question real quick? Mm-hmm. Could you understand what everybody was saying when they were doing their promos? Was there any point where you were like, what?
No.
What did he just say? No?
Not for the moment.
You mean in terms of their accents?
because there were a couple of points where I was like, what? What did he just say? And like, I talk to people like that all the time. So I was like, I wondered how you guys got on with it, but clearly it wasn't an issue for you.
Well, yeah, but you can't hear at all.
What?
That's why you always have earplugs in.
What?
So obviously, after the Tyler Bate and Wolfgang match we talked about, Pete Dunne came out and attacked Tyler Bate, sent him into the ring post, shoulder first. Later on, we find out that he had a separated shoulder or something like that. And I love the way, like, I know Meltzer and Alvarez and even me, like Charlie Caruso and Dasha Fuentes, these girls ask the stupidest questions. They sound awful. And I giggled when Charlie Caruso says, unfortunate news, Tyler Bate has suffered, blah, 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 blah. But he will be able to compete tonight. It's like, what? I thought they were going to do the bait and switch and give us Wolfgang or something versus Pete Dunne.
Bait and switch.
Very good. Okay. You're very punny today.
I got it.
It's excellent.
He's gonna name your next album, dude. The next album of Sad Bloodland. You can find him on Bandcamp and iTunes.
Paparongo. Guys, we would get one non-tournament match, and this was a surprise. So Neville comes out complaining again that he's been overlooked, that he should have been the first UK champion by default, that he's been slighted, he wasn't a part of the Cruiserweight Classic, wasn't a part of the launch of 205 Live, and now he's been slighted again by not being involved in this UK tournament. He says, bring out whoever you want, I'll beat him. And Darnell, I'll let you say it. Who came out?
Tommy, the End.
Absolutely. And he was called Tommy End, which is weird. I get why they did it, because I feel like you bring him out as Aleister Black in Blackpool, you may have gotten a little bit of a bad reaction. So
sorry to spoiler alert everyone, but beating him as well, I don't think you want to beat him on television before, like, as Aleister Black. You bring him in, he changes, he goes on a winning streak, and then, you know, he's a dangerous dude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I didn't even think about that.
The chant did start, and the crowd was quickly turned down. Quickly, I caught, which is cool. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's going to happen even when he changes to Aleister Black, so it's something they're going to have to deal with. But I thought these guys had a great match, and I was. I was actually surprised that Neville picked up the victory with the Red Arrow. This is the first time I've noticed they changed Neville's music finally. His music it's similar, but it has a beginning that's different, and it has a very heel edge. So I was very, very, very curious.
And Neville is killing it as a heel, too, because heel Pac back in the day was fantastic. The guy is just unbelievable. How has he not had a major title on the main roster yet? Like, the guy, each time I see him, I'm just in awe of how amazing of a wrestler he is. And Tommy looked great. Tommy looked really, really good.
I thought Tommy was way bigger than he is. Because when I've seen him in real life, he's a big dude.
He is. I always forget that he's a lot smaller than he really is.
Yeah, he didn't look that much bigger than Neville. And, like, Neville's not a big dude, like, by any stretch of imagination. But he's cut. And, like, they didn't look that... I thought he was taller. I thought he was bigger. I wonder if maybe he's lost a little bit of weight.
He's around our height. I want to say
because Neville's like a good like 6 inches shorter than I am.
Yeah, that's true. But Neville also, yeah, I think because Neville's size is really deceptive. He looks a lot bigger because he's so big. But yeah, it's true. I was thinking the entire time. I was like, oh yeah, I keep forgetting. Like, I expect this like huge guy to come out. And I keep forgetting he's just a lean sort of guy from Amsterdam.
His offense looked amazing. I thought he looked really, really, really good.
I do have to point out that yesterday Tommy End did save a family of ducks on the side of the highway as well. I saw. So anyone who thinks, you know, he's all gloom and doom and Satan worship, he does save baby ducks, and I think that makes him a very, very viable babyface in the WWE here very soon.
And he's going to be an awesome heel when time comes around.
Absolutely.
Kick those ducks down the gutter.
Guys, after the match, obviously, Neville picked up the victory. Finn Balor came out and welcomed everybody to the final, and the fans started chanting, "We deserve it." And normally that kind of stuff, you know, the "we are awesome," blah, blah, blah chants, I think get a lot of derision from the online community. But I think in this case, this is true. The United Kingdom fans do deserve their own WWE champion and do deserve the WWE's attention more, because they really truly are a very special fan base. I mean, Darnell and me go to WrestleMania every year, George. You've been to several. It's a joy to be sitting in the crowd with the fans from Europe. It's the energy is always higher. It's more positive. I will say that without question. And I'm not, you know, American fans can come at me about this. European fans are more positive to be around. There's not the anti-women chants going on. There's not people yelling for show us your puppies. There's not, and maybe I've just not experienced it, but I always feel like I have a better vibe when I'm in a crowd with a bunch of Europeans.
Yeah, I agree with you to an extent. I will say, you know, say if you're a dick, you're a dick, you know? And that's one of, like, in Progress Wrestling, that's one of the rules is, that's the only rule, actually, is...
Yeah, there is
only.
Yeah.
Which is what, George?
Don't be a dick.
Exactly. And I think Jim Smallman, who was there, which is really cool to see Jim and John Brown.
Oh, it was
there.
Really cool to see him there, yeah.
And he was wearing a suit. Oh, my God. Like, dude only wears band t-shirts, so and a, like, baseball cap. But when they started the women's division just recently, I've heard some disparaging remarks towards Ginny and Pollyanna, but that was quickly kiboshed. But I think that English wrestling fans are just... I think they're more grateful to watch wrestling than we are as Americans, because we just get it so often. I can literally, like, every weekend here in New York go wherever I want to see wrestling, you know, and everything comes to me. Not everyone in England is the best with certain chants, but I do think that they are more positive just because they're probably drunker. And they, true, and it just true. Really, really excited to be there.
That's fair.
Really, I think I've never drank so much in my life unless I'm with George. And I'm sure you could probably just say the same thing about me.
I would say the night that I met you both was one of the drunkest evenings of my life, so.
Oh, that was just like, that was a Tuesday for me.
And I do night. Believe you guys missed your flight the next day.
Yeah, we did. I was going to say, I do not really remember.
Oh, that was.
About that evening. I do remember. Oh, I am very angry about that. I'm very angry about that. Let's not talk about it. Let's move on, because I'll call someone out on the radio. I'll do it right now. I got a promo on that dude.
Because
if I ever see him again, I'm going to send him back to.
You're going to what? You're going to do the English thing and glare at him? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tut at him from behind and go, oh.
Guys, the final match of the tournament, Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne. Longest match of the tournament. I think tore the house down. I think was the best. I think the only other match that you could say was close to being the other match of the tournament was Mark Andrews versus Pete Dunne. But I think the performance of Tyler Bate in this match, and I got to also give credit where credit is due here to him throughout the entire second night of the tournament, he played the role of a young guy who maybe in the back of his mind thought he shouldn't be where he is. Mm-hmm. And just the dumbfounded look on his face when his hand was raised, and just the pure look of, it was almost as if he was in shock when Triple H, Balor, Fit Finlay, and William Regal were all in the ring with him congratulating him. He just played this off so well and got so over with me. And I hope that other wrestling fans feel the same way, because this kid, 19 years old, good grief, to be this good at 19, where are we going to be in 10 years when he's 29?
Yep, did you see the interview after he won with him and Daisy Fuentes, or whatever her name is?
Chuck Caruso. I think it's Charlie Caruso. Charlie Caruso is the one they took to London with them.
Got you. So her and Dora the Explorer. So Tyler and Dora, they were talking, and she was asking him questions, and he was just sort of like, I don't really know what to say. I'm speechless. She was like, well, did you ever think you would ever be speechless? Which is also, like, the dumbest question ever.
Did you ever think that you would be speechless?
Yeah, dot, dot, dot. and Tyler's just like, I just am really happy. Like, he had this look, like, I think that look was, like, legit when he won. Like, where he was just like, oh, wow, they weren't kidding when they said I was going to win this match. Oh, no, here's William Regal. And there's, again, there's nothing better than genuine excitement and emotion in wrestling. And I'm very, very happy that he won, you know. They tore the house down, man. They tore the house down. Him and Pete, like, worked so well together.
How about that Fosbury flop by Tyler Bate onto Dunn on the outside? That was pure beauty. He got so much air on that.
It's like perfect. It's like video game style. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, perfect. Jesus. And Pete Dunne looked like a star in losing, too.
The finish I thought was great, too. Dunne got a triangle choke on Bate, and he used a one-arm powerbomb with his bad shoulder to get out of it. And then after that, Dunne would lock on a Kimura lock onto Bate, who powered out with a brainbuster. They traded some forearms. Bate used some capo kicks and then hit the Tyler Driver 97 to win the tournament. And you've got the most over 19-year-old in professional wrestling now. Like, I just, it blows my mind that WWE would be willing to put everything behind this kid. And congrats to him, man.
Yeah, it's who would have thunk it? Congrats, both of these kids under the age of 25 just showed everyone else how it's done. Are you excited that Tyler won, George, over Pete, or did you have a preference between either or?
I really wanted Dunn to win. I don't know why. Like, I just
Him to win.
Yeah. Well, I think I said, I can't remember who I said.
You both said Tyler 7. Because I think everyone thought it was clearly going to be Tyler 7 against Pete Dunne.
Trent 7.
You're making an amalgamation of Mustache Mountain right now.
I thought it was cool. I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed the match. I thought the match was great. I enjoyed the whole thing, really. The second evening a lot more than the first. I still have no idea what this means for the UK. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like, there were no questions answered about what comes next. You've got a UK champion, brilliant. Like, what happens now? Was I dreaming? Was it all a dream? I didn't see any polar bears. I've never watched Lost, so I don't know. Was it a dream?
It's a dream, are we all dead? I don't know.
Yeah, where do you go? What do you do? Do you now do? Yeah, because at least in the Cruiserweight Classic, we knew they were going to Raw. You know, there's some sort of, all right, and then the show came on afterward, 205 live, but should be taped before SmackDown. Do you have them wrestle at other companies? Do you have them defend at IPW and Fight Pro and Rev Pro and Progress? Or do you just have them all wrestle each other in a weird time warp over and over and over?
I just hope it doesn't end up on the main roster. I just hope they keep Vince McMahon as far away from it as possible. And if that happens, I'll be fine with whatever they do.
What if they put it on SmackDown?
Vince is still there. Kevin Dunn is still there.
Look how great SmackDown is, though.
Kevin Dunn is still there. Mm. Just saying.
I think Meltzer said something about them doing a TV show, an actual TV show. But I mean, I'm just going off what he said. I've got no idea.
I know
there were
plan.
No questions answered last night.
I know that's the plan, is to do a weekly television show from the United Kingdom, which is great, because if they do that, you know, Vince and Kevin Dunn, I hate to harp on these guys, they won't be traveling to the UK every week to do this. I don't know who will be in charge of it. I don't know what the plan is, because I know William Regal is still very involved in talent scouting, so I don't think Regal is staying put to run this show. But whoever does it, I just hope that they find a way to keep that specialness to the scene alive and don't disparage what has already been built upon by Progress, Rev Pro, ICW, OTT, and all these other promotions.
I agree. The infamous RuPaul says, and I'm going to say this to Vince McMahon, and you might have to beat me, Dustin, but Vince, don't fuck it up.
Boom. Well, guys, thank you for joining me this week. I appreciate it greatly, and sorry to our listeners who were expecting some content from us over the weekend, but here it is Monday morning. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I had a dream, and that was that you would get this on Monday. So for myself and Darnell, thank you for joining us. Darnell, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DNellicious. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ArtByEarl. And again, I'll be at Legends Bar in New York City if you're there. So come, I'll be with Earl, get some stuff, get some awesome things, and then we'll do a podcast later that night.
That's for the Royal Rumble, correct?
That's for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. George, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Twitter at George J. Phillips. Same with Instagram. And you can find my band on the internet at pretty much everywhere. It's /sadbloodband. Thanks so much again, you guys, for having me. It was really good fun.
And you can find me on Twitter at Smohawk, on Instagram at Smohawk, on Facebook at Dustin Smothers - Voice of PW Iowa. Make sure you're following us at Pro Wrestling IA on Twitter, and make sure you're following at PW Mothership for Darnell, mine, Kevin's new show coming up next week. And Darnell, we also have a Instagram account now at Pro Wrestling _IA.
Yay! It's just pictures of us doing like fun things and talking about upcoming shows and, you know, just hilarity.
There you go. Well, guys, peace, love, and wrestling. You're all too sweet. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, visit electronicmediacollective.com.